Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Today, there was a man was reading his paper early one morning, and his wife came down and walked up behind him and leaned down, gave him a kiss and said, "You know what today is, don't you?" And he's like, "Of course, of course, of course." And so she went to make her breakfast, and he was in a panic and reading the paper, and he got done and he left, and he was thinking on his way to work, "What is today? What is today?" So he thought, "Man, maybe I've forgotten her birthday." So he called the florist and ordered some flowers to be delivered. And then at work he thought, maybe it's our anniversary. Oh my goodness. So he, after work, went by and to a jewelry store and got a tennis bracelet. And then on his way home, he thought, "Boy, now I'm really in trouble. Is this enough?" So he stopped and got some chocolates and showed up at home. And they got together and he walked in and he gave these gifts. And she goes, "Oh, my heavens, this is the best Groundhog's Day ever. So wonderful." So as clueless guys, that sometimes happen to us. We've been in our series talking about marriage and just talking about this important. Again, last year, I kind of line up our series a year in advance, and we were praying, what is Satan really attacking? You know, what is he targeting? And we feel that there's a hellish attack against marriage and family. And so we kind of set our sights to go through some things. So if you haven't been with us, we welcome you to go online and kind of catch up. Just a couple things that we started last week, and we're examining God's plan for marriage. Last week we looked at a few key facts. And we looked mainly at God created marriage. Marriage wasn't just something you decided to do. As much as we live in a culture and a society that likes to talk about the contract of marriage, God created the covenant of marriage. And so you just didn't decide to do it. You became part of something, and it is God's. And God created marriage for a purpose. And because he created marriage, he has a vested interest in marriage succeeding. And he's given us tools, and he's given us counsel through his word. He understands us. So you are not alone. So we need to understand that. We also looked at several things, you know, in our relationship. Relationships from husbands to wives, you know, that wives are not slaves, okay? They're not slaves. And there's always this argument in marriage that we looked at last week about who's the boss. You know, is the guy the boss, or is the wife the boss? I had a relative who had a famous saying. He said, "Any guy who says that he runs his household will lie about anything." But you know, with that, it's you know, who's the boss? Is the husband the boss, or is the wife the boss? Well, the answer that we came to is this: marriages work when God is the boss. And when God is the boss, then we understand that we submit ourselves to loving our wives and respecting our husbands, and love and respect for both husbands and wives together. So we kind of broke that. And in terms of husbands loving their wives, it's like I've watched too much Princess Bride this week. In terms of those things, I hear a lot of people, you know, as we talk to couples and go through difficult times, like, you know, I'd respect my husband if he'd act more loving, or I'd love my wife if she'd, you know, treat me, you know, those types of things. Well, be very, very careful with that, because I'd like to ask you this: is God's love for you based solely on your actions? And I hope you understand the answer is no. I mean, no. God loved you while you were messed up. God still loves you. God loves us. For God so loved the world, okay? And we look at Romans 5:8, one of my favorite verses. God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners. In other words, while we're still messing up, while our actions are still not in line with God, that He loved us, that He sent Christ for us. And so one of our key things to be successful and to understand this is we love with God's love, which is not simply based on actions. We need to delve way past this. So with that in mind, I want to look at another portion of Scripture that sometimes, boy, gets a bad rap. This portion of Scripture gets a bad rap. We're going to look at, last week we looked at what the Apostle Paul said. Today we're going to look at what the Apostle Peter says. So we'll look at 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to look at some interesting things. Now, sadly, some people resent this Scripture. And they misunderstand it, or they misread it. So I kind of want to give us an approach as we kind of get into this, and we'll unpack it a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Let not your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of clothing, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, in which God's sight, in God's sight is very precious, which in God's sight is very precious, excuse me. So some people read that immediately, like they're like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. Okay, now we're going back, you know, this is ridiculous. That's, understand what it says here. It says, wives be subject, what are the next couple words? To your own. Okay, don't read into this Scripture something that's not there. Okay, they're talking about protecting marriage. Marriage really doesn't work when we forget to cleave to one another, when we lean in. And it's a very difficult thing when people are looking and not honoring the covenant in which they've made to honor their spouse. Your spouse should have the highest place in your life. You have God, and then you have your spouse. Okay? That's where it works. Okay? When you took a vow, you said, and most of us, when they took vows, you said, and forsaking all others, you're going to cleave to this person. Right? Sounded something like that? As long as you both shall live. So that's an important thing for us to understand. And it kind of gets in the way. What's also happening here is the understanding of this. There's an underlying principle that you can't change your spouse by lecturing them into heart change. Especially guys. Cause look, I've been a guy most of my whole life. Okay? No. I've been a guy my whole life. And the bottom line is this. I can speak about what works for me in changing my behavior and conduct. And usually when somebody just like comes at me and is disrespectful, most of the times I resent the heck out of it. Any other guys kind of resent that? And I'm such a mature person that usually when that happens, I get passive aggressive, or I'll shut up, or I know I'm the only person who acts like that. Right, gents? Right? On the contrary, when someone comes to me And you know, in our marriage, when we talk and we think, and there's a respect, I then immediately, usually, those empathy kicks in, and I change a lot easier in those types of areas. I know I'm the exception to the rule, nothing else. But you know, people say, oh, you're going to henpeck your husband into doing the right thing. Well, bottom line is this: you don't change a heart; God changes a heart. Okay, God changes the heart. And respect is a fantastic thing for work. As we looked last week and we talked about some studies about how men need respect, women need love. That's not to say that men don't need love, and that's not to say that women don't need respect. Do not read into that. But there's a primary way of how we were wired into thinking. And I tell you what, they had it figured out. God, speaking through these authors, did some major, major things. Men change if given respect, and if not, they will often resist it. Now, why does this portion of Scripture, some people, they begin to read it, and they're like, that just makes me mad when I hear this. It just makes me mad. You know, and I know some dear, dear friends of mine who are female who are like, I just wish they just ripped this stupid page right out of the Bible. If we just want to be honest. We say, why is that? Okay, here's my belief. And I'm going to give you just a story from my life that might, I hopefully, will bring some healing. So when I was a kid, we got picked up. We had to take a long, long bus ride. We were the first people to be picked up on the school bus, little kid. And we would usually ride outside of town. And our next stop, way outside of town, there was a trailer park, and there was some families there that had a really, really rough time. And there were some kids. Remember my favorites? Hurt people, hurt people. And there were some kids who had some rough times. And we would get on that school bus. And that was back in the day when your lunch was in a brown paper sack and you had milk money. And sometimes mom would tape the milk money to the, you know, the bottom of the sack so you don't lose it. We would always get our milk money stolen. And the guy would go back there and they would just beat us up. I mean, they'd take our stuff. And we hated it. As a little kid, we hated it. And these were, you know, we were in like primary school and then there's the junior hires who were, you know, going into high school and, you know, they just had a rough life. I look, you know, back then I just wanted to take them out, but I hated being bullied. I mean, I hated it. And I was just a short little, I've gotten better since then. I was just a little tiny thing and I got picked on and picked on. We finally got so sick of it that we were like, we're not riding the stupid bus. So we would walk and cut across a cornfield and then walk on a railroad track into Eisenhower School, then hop a different bus to get to North because we were sick and tired of it. And no one would listen and do anything about it. So as a kid, I developed a very, very, a real hatred of bullies. I hate bullies. I really have a problem with bullies. When I see bullies and when I see bullyish behavior, something inside of me trips. And I want to bully bullies. And I've told you this before, but I should have a reaction. So like if you see a bullying behavior, you should respond. Let's say it should get a number 5 on the 1 through 10 scale. I see it and I'm up here about an 8 or a 9. There's a reason that I overreact. The reason that I overreact is because I have a sensitivity to that. Because I saw this and I went through it. And now, man, I'm locked and loaded when I see that stuff. And so when I am confronted with that, my reaction is normal. And sometimes in the Word of God, we're the same way. We read something and man, it trips a switch. And we're like, why does this make me mad? Why is this offensive? Why does this rub me so wrong? And I would say that a lot of us have sensitivities to certain things. Maybe we've experienced something that's unhealthy. Maybe we've come up in an unhealthy atmosphere. And because of these things, we get to these portions of scriptures. We're like, well, don't read into something. Okay? Don't read into something. God is for us. And so when we look at this scripture, you know, this is not saying that wives are lesser. This is not saying that they're God loves men. This is not saying any of that. When we unpack it like we did last week, we see that there's some tremendous things. We don't want to get in God's way of dealing with situations. Wives have every right to speak their mind, to speak their heart, but in the end, only God can change a heart. And when spouses will speak respectfully and then pray, you can sick God on them. That was supposed to be like really at this moment. Pray. Don't get in the way. Look what Peter goes on to say. You ready? Verse 5. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their husbands as Sarah obeyed Abraham. Now we're going to have this fascinating, this really, really neat story of Sarah here, who is a tremendous woman, and we're going to see why here in a minute. Who Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Every wife's eyes just rolled just then. We're going to come back and deal with that. My wife calls me Lord sometimes, but it's usually in this context. Oh, Lord, what has he done now? So it's never like that. Yeah, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel. You like how I read that really quickly? We're going to come back to that. Since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So why did I read quickly through the weaker vessel? Because I didn't want to take a hymn book upside my head. That's pretty much why. What are you talking about, the weaker vessel? Renita, could you please come here? Okay. Oh, no. Who is saying, oh, no? Okay, look. I think above average. I was going to say average. Above average woman. Okay. Average guy. Am I bigger? Just general. Okay, in general. Yes, I'm large. I have more bone density. I'm a bonehead. In general. This is not saying anything bad. Is she less of a human being than me? Most people would argue the contrary. Okay? Which one is physically stronger, do you think? Now we're gonna wrestle. I'm just teasing. No, you're good. No, the deal is this. I know some ripped women. who are strong and who are very, very strong. We got some people. That's not saying that you're weak. On average, can we all say, on average, men have more bone density. On average, men have more testosterone. They have more muscle fibers as a result of their greater muscle mass. Males are often stronger than females when adjusting for the differences in total body mass due to the higher male muscle mass to body mass ratio. Okay? That's not a sexist comment. And I know in our society today, everyone's trying to wipe out any difference in the genders. I think it's ridiculous, okay? The bottom line is there are differences. That's not saying one is better than the other. Nobody who actually knows us would say that I'm better than Renita. In fact, they'd say the opposite. And yet we read into things like this. This is not being critical. This is, look, husbands, don't be jerks to your wives, okay? Understand this. Understand that you're called. So, Renita, should she say that if I open the pickle jar, does that make me a better person? Am I a better human being because I happen to be taller and I can reach things? We're not going to talk about our height challenge things, but that's an issue. You know, sometimes, no, it's not there, okay? So, understand what's being, this is not saying that women are horrible and that men are awesome. That's not what's, this is letting us know how we can interact and how we can live with each other and how we can best affect change and be a blessing to one another, okay? Women, be respectful. Men, be loving. Okay? It's like refer to last week's message. Now, here's what I think is so interesting is because we focus on Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham gave respect to the point of calling, I'm sorry, Sarah gave respect to Abraham to the point of calling him Lord. Let's rewind and learn a little bit about how Abraham acted. He had more bone density in his head. Abraham lied about his relationship with his wife because he was afraid, and so he passed her off as his sister. I would just like to know how that reunion conversation went. They get back together. Hi, Sarah. How are you? I can't believe that you just did that, right? Yeah, couldn't we all agree? Probably not. I mean, this is the father of our faith, and he did some really not good decisions. Can we agree with that? Okay. And yet, here's the point that I want to make. Ladies, last week I was very, very heavy. I was pretty hard on the guys. This week, I want to balance something out to show you the opportunity of the power that wives have for their husbands. Because for some reason, we got this contest. It shouldn't be a contest. You're a team. If you're here with your spouse today, grab a hold of their hand and you squeeze them. You look at them and say, "We're a team." Nobody wanted to do that. Okay. Here's the deal, gang. Sarah showed respect to her husband in the midst of him being not perfect. In the midst of him being not perfect. And I want to tell you this. I love everybody in this room. I so appreciate our board. I so appreciate the elders of the church. I so appreciate the leaders, the staff. I appreciate some fellow pastors that I'm in covenant with. But not a one of them can encourage me like that woman right there. That's my wife I'm pointing to. Just make sure. Doesn't matter. This person right here is whose opinion means more to me than any of you. Any one of you. I don't care. I can come after a service and have 100 people come up. Oh yeah, it was wonderful. That's who I'm going to lean towards to say, honey, she's the one who keeps me balanced. She's the one who can encourage me when everything else is down and everything is coming against and just how, as long as she comes up, she's like, you know what? We can do this. It's okay. There's something inside that. She possesses that place inside of my life like no one else can. And I believe wives have that place in the midst of our, with their husbands. They can speak encouragement. They can literally sow seeds for the future. I think it's a very, very powerful thing. Remember, when Adam and Eve were called together, we had this thing that there was no one found to help him meet his purpose. And that's what this help meet concept of why couples were called together. Look how Sarah encouraged Abraham. That's a crucial piece. When husbands love as Christ loves and wives respect their own husbands, they submit to God and to one another. We propel each other towards God rather than wrestle each other away for validation. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm going to have to stand before God and give account to God. Husbands, you're going to have to stand before the Lord and give account of how you stewarded that which God called to walk you with. You are walking with God's daughter. So my first point for us today, just three quick points. Number one is this. God's plan in marriage is for us to help one another. It's to help one another. Our plan is for husbands to help their wives and for wives to help their husbands. Husbands and wives are heirs together, okay? We're not to compete, we're to complete. We're not to compete, we are to complete one another. We are called together to fulfill our purpose. Husbands, through your love, protect, give every reason for your wife to feel valued and appreciated, loving like Christ loved the church. Take the lead, take part. Don't be an absent husband or an absent father. Be part. Wives, respect your husbands, love your husbands. You are called together to fulfill God's purpose. And I want to take a look at this thing now as we look at Genesis chapter 1. Because there's some really, really interesting pieces that we have back here. Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Okay? There's creepy crawlies. Right? So, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, and over every living thing that moves on the earth, okay? So they were purposed, they had dominion, they were created, they have this blessing. So what are they supposed to do to the every creeping thing that creeps? They're supposed to have dominion over that, right? All right. Now, chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord has made. Do serpents, are they creepy crawlies? Yeah. They're creepy crawlies. They're supposed to creep. They're supposed to crawl. Should Adam have had dominion? Should he have subdued this? Should he? He should have been doing something here, okay? Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the other beasts of the fields that the Lord God had made. He said to the who? Okay, well, we're going to see something here in a second. He said to the woman. Now, he didn't talk to them. He talked to her. Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to who? The woman. You will not surely die. Look what happens. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was where? Wait a minute. So Adam was right there with Eve? Yep. So the husband was there with his wife. The serpent went to the wife and talked. So what's the point? Where are you going at, Pastor? I'm saying it this. Husbands, wives, you can be standing right next to each other. You can be sleeping in the same bed and a million miles away. You can stop talking. You can stop communicating. And at that moment, you become easy pickings for Satan. And we have that. You have to lean into your spouse. You have to intentionally. One of my favorite pastors on marriage is Jimmy Evans, who has a wonderful. And actually, he's preaching a series on marriage this for this past month. Really, really good stuff. And he had a comment yesterday. It was on Twitter. This really, really neat comment. It says, "Marriage isn't about chemistry. It's about work." It's not about your chemistry. It's about your work. You want to get close in a marriage? It's not about the chemistry as much as it is about work. You got to put the time in. You got to work for your marriage. You got to work. And what? And here's unfortunately kind of what I see. It happens with us as well. Is sometimes we just quit working. Oh, guys, you work really, 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 really hard to trick her into marrying you. Oh, okay, come on now, seriously. How many of you guys just did something outrageous to get attention, or you just wanted to win her over, and then we get that ring on, we get married, next thing you know, our game drops, right? Okay, I'm the only person who's done that. Great, I'll pray for your pastor. Bottom line is this, you got to work, you got to work, you got to work, and then you got to work, you got to work, you got to work. And when you work, there's some wonderful things. One of the ways that we have to work is to take dominion over the very things that God called us to take dominion over. And sometimes we're playing with the serpent rather than taking authority and dominion. We're letting Satan come in. And when we should be connecting with our children and when we should be connecting with our wives, we're on Facebook, we're watching NASCAR, we're on SportsCenter, we're on wherever. Our hearts are a million places except watching over what God has entrusted us. Wake up! Why? You're still mean towards the guys. Yeah? Because I recognize some of it. But ladies as well. Why in the world didn't Eve talk to Adam? Because when there's a breakdown in communication, we separate. And we'd rather just sit there in silence and be stoic rather than say, I have to work. I have to. Is this good or bad? Because someone's, I can't read the room right now. I'm like, we're going to slash your tires, Pastor. Have fun walking home. Hope your shoes are comfy. All right. You watch it, Rex. I know that laugh. Yeah. Boop. All right. For God knows, she took of its fruit, she ate it, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Now, here's the next thing that gets us. They ate, and the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked. Here's a big question. Were they naked before that? Yeah. You know, when communication breaks down, you know what begins to happen? When Satan gets in there, we begin to keep secrets from one another. Those areas of our lives that should be open to our spouse, we begin to keep secrets. I got to cover this area of my life. Why? Because I have shame. And when I cover and I have shame and I begin to separate, I further divide from that person whom God has called me. Look, in marriage, there shouldn't be secrets. In marriage, there shouldn't be secrets. We should be open, and there's a reason we should be open, because we should hold one another accountable and not let Satan to enter. So if you're making all kinds of fig leaves to cover all kinds of areas of your life, I would respectfully entertain a conversation to say, maybe you shouldn't. Maybe where God has originally purposed and called us to be is not to be hiding areas, but to be more open. And if we recognize that, we might be exposing Satan rather than letting Satan expose us. Just food for thought, because I love you. Have dominion. So I know that there's some rough stuff here, and so there's some vulnerabilities that we see. My next point is this. God's plan for marriage protects us. Okay? God's plan for marriage protects us. That's what it does. When we do things God's way, when we don't keep secrets, when we keep communication, when we lean into one another, it protects us. After all, the very beginning, it's not good for man to be alone. Okay? In other words, what should we be doing? We should be seeking counsel from one another. And as I've said many, many times, it's interesting that we can talk to our spouses about a lot of topics. We can talk about finances. We can talk about raising our kids. We can talk about work. We can talk about home building projects. We can talk about mutual habits. But when it comes to spiritual things, we hit a train wreck. We hit a brick wall. Why is that? Satan wants to stop that. And I'm telling us we have to press in to have spiritual conversations, to pray, to learn. And it's hard. It is hard, but it's worth the work. It is worth the work. It's not good for man to be alone. So we need to learn to seek counsel. Now, here's where a big thing happens that we see especially now. Women being independent from their husbands. What causes vulnerabilities in marriage a lot of times, and I don't plan against God's plan, is to be so independent that you got your life, you do your things, he does theirs. No, I think that God has actually called the two shall become one. When God has called us to be together, and two are better than one because they have a good return for the labor. Second thing is when we embrace God's plan for our marriage, it protects us because we should be protected from the serpent's temptations. Now, here's where we get to husbands again. Husbands shouldn't be absent or inattentive to family. When you are with your spouse comes before your Facebook account or your Twitter feed or your Instagram or whatever you're on anymore, whatever the thing. Your spouse comes before all that. It should be God and your spouse, then everything else, okay? God, spouse. That's your number one earthly relationship. Your number one earthly relationship. Amen? I didn't get a single, I got a mumble. Okay. Satan loves to separate, guys. Satan loves to separate. But adhering to God's word protects and draws us together. So value your spouse, brothers and sisters. Value your spouse. Don't be so busy watching the game rather than stewarding what God has entrusted to you. Because Satan wants to keep us apart rather than cause us to connect and communicate. My final thought here today, just wrapping it up, is this, is that God's plan is for marriages to communicate. When communication is the first thing to go, it's the first thing to go. I watched it over and over and over and over. Communication, it's the first thing to go. And then we got problems. That's why you have to strive to communicate. When we stop communicating, we open ourselves up for trouble. Two areas that we just saw in the garden. They quit, you know, they could have been talking to God. God heard them. There's no reason that either Adam or Eve weren't talking to God at the moment when Satan, how many times when you are tempted, do you ever just stop and say, "Dear God, should I do this?" And he's like, "Yeah, you should go ahead." No. We don't ask God because we don't want the answer, do we? All right, if I drive by Krispy Kreme and I'm on a diet, I don't talk to my diet coach now, do I? Because I don't want to hear what they're going to say. And the same is true with this. Now, the second part of communication that breaks down is communication to one another. Why in the world didn't Adam and Eve, why weren't they talking at that moment? Why wasn't the woman and the man talking? You know what? The serpent's saying this. Well, at that moment, they should say, well, that's not what God... No, let's press into God together. God's plan is for marriages to communicate, gang. I mean, and it's hard. And to this end, I know when there's strife in marriage, I know when it happens, but here's a great verse for us. It was our verse today, Ephesians chapter 4, 26 through 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Here's the reason. Look, you're going to get mad. It's going to happen. God has uniquely joined you together with someone who can be your biggest blessing and also drive you crazy, right? Amen to that one, but not the other stuff? What's wrong with you people? Look, it can be a challenge. It can be a challenge, but there's some very good advice. Don't go to bed angry. Look, it doesn't mean you're going to solve the problem. It means you agree to lay down your wrath. It means you say this, look, Look, we're getting ready to go to bed. I'm not going to bed angry. I'm going to choose to lay it down and we'll pick it up later when we can deal with it. But we're not letting anything come between us. Okay? Going to sleep on the couch? No. That's grade school. No. You work it out. Even if it means taking a time out and saying we're mature enough to give a time out, we'll pick this up later. We'll come back together. Again, we're not talking about in terms of abuse, those things, it's a whole other thing. Be angry, it happens, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity. When we do that, we give opportunity, Satan comes in. And so the communication that needs to happen is between spouses and with God. It's hard for me to, it is so hard for me to stay mad at my wife when I'm talking to God. It's hard for my wife to, now I give my wife lots of reasons to be mad at me, but it's hard for her to stay mad at me when she's talking to God. It's hard. You know why? Because God's already forgiven. Don't compete, complete. Let's pray.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.